guy's going to be some senator one day.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to a brand new episode of The Jesse Hughes Show. As always, I am Jesse Hughes. I'm your host tonight. Let's get right into this. So, the State of the Union was last night, and I'm sure you, if you didn't watch it, you've probably seen some clips floating around. You've probably seen some segments of President Biden's speech, some tweets about some of the things that he said, some tweets from me, some tweets from others. And you may have even seen the Republican response given by Senator Katie Britt. Now, I really like Senator Britt. I think that she's a fine senator. I think that she does an alright job in the Senate. She's a freshman, so I'll give her grace. But the response that was given last night was lackluster at best. There was not much substance to it. There wasn't much charisma. It was almost as if the party was putting her out there because they knew that people like you and me were speculating about her future, and they were putting her out there to show she's not ready yet. Again, she's a fine senator. She does a good job. I would prefer she be doing other things, personally. But she does a good job in the Senate. You would think that she would do a great job, right? Not so much. Many, many people that I saw last night said that her response was off-putting. It seemed fake. That it seemed staged. That you could tell that she was reading off of a script. It seemed overly emotional at times. It was not the kind of response that State of the Union required. And so what I wanted to try and do tonight to give you the response that I believe the Republicans should have given to the State of the Union. You watched the speech just like I did. In years past, the State of the Union has been used as a time to try and unite Americans despite our It was a time to highlight our shared common heritage, our shared foundational beliefs, and to show how the president was working within that common foundation to try and build the country up, and to identify problems and issues to look forward to trying to solve in the future. That's what the State of the Union has historically been. That was not what we saw last night. The State of the Union that President Biden gave was an unstated, vitriolic disaster. President Biden went out there and basically declared war on half of the country. He made a comparison of Donald Trump to Adolf Hitler. It's not just a meme anymore. He is now comparing Trump to Adolf Hitler, and by proxy, you and me and everybody that supports Trump must be Nazis. He declared war on half the country. He declared war on common people like you and I. Instead of focusing on the issues that everyday Americans like you and me want to see him focus on, whether it be the wide open border, the fact that groceries and food prices have gone up significantly since he's been president, the fact that inflation is out of control, the fact that our public schools are being used to indoctrinate children into a psychotic alphabet mafia, he went out there and said that he was going to defend your right to kill your child in the womb, and that he's going to defend transgenders who are children, instead of helping them because they are obviously in need of psychological help, he said he's going to go forward and defend their ability to mutilate their own bodies, to use life-altering hormones. And if you try and get in his way, it's not going to look good for you. The President of the United States even mockingly, he mocked decorum by openly attacking the Supreme Court of the United States by saying that they had no idea what the power, the electoral and political power that women had in this country because of how they ruled in Dobbs versus Jackson when they overturned Roe v. Wade. I understand. If you're someone who is pro-choice, who thinks that Roe was a good measure, that's fine. But to openly mock, defy, and attack the Supreme Court in the State of the Union address is beyond unacceptable and inappropriate. It's beyond even common decency. How he could go out there and do that, I've never seen anything like that. President Biden proved to the nation last night that he is the most divisive, he is the most condescending, he is the most vitriolic, and he's obviously the most angry president that we have had in the last 4 years. That we have had in the last 8 years, that we've even had in the last 4 decades. I've never seen anything like this in my lifetime. I'm a student of history. I've never seen anything like it in my studies of history, at least not in the common mind. And yet that was the display that we saw from the President of the United States last night. The border doesn't matter. Inflation doesn't matter. The fact that you can't feed your kids, the fact you can barely survive, that doesn't matter. All that matters to Biden is whether or not you support Trump, whether or not you support the sacrifice of unborn children, and whether or not you support the Alphabet Mafia. That is all that matters to him. And that was very clear last night. President Biden and his supporters have openly declared war on half the country. But Republicans should be telling you that we have heard his declaration, we have received it, and we are ready to fight. Not with bullets, not with guns, but we're ready to fight him in the ballot box. We're ready to fight him through the grassroots campaigns. We are ready to fight him on Election Day this coming November with Donald J. as our leader, leading the charge forward onto hopefully a next 4 years full of hope and optimism. The Republican Party needs to be the party of optimism, the party of hopefulness, but also a strong and courageous party willing to defend its constituents and willing to defend the American people. When you have a president stand up there and call you essentially the equivalent of a Nazi for not supporting abortion, you should have a place to be able to turn and be able to feel comforted, be the Republican Party. The Republican Party going forward needs to preach a message that is loud and clear to the other side. We are not going to stand for your baseless attacks any longer. We're not going to sit back and allow you to let millions of people pour over the border unattended. We're not going to allow you to replace us. We're not going to allow you to cheat in elections. We're not going to allow you to murder your own children. And we're not going to allow you to force me to pay for your own children. We are not going to allow you to force me to sit by while you try and convince my child that he was born or she was born in the wrong body. We are not going to sit by and allow the insanity to continue on any longer. It's over. It's done. Moving forward, you're going to see a new day in America come November. When Donald Trump takes the stage for the inauguration in January of 2025, he's going to be surrounded by supporters and by organizations, supporters like me and organizations like the Heritage Foundation, who are going to push for policies that are going to help everyday Americans like you. We're going to push to make sure that you can actually afford to have a family. We're going to push for policies that promote the family as the basic base unit of society. The family is the bedrock and foundation of society, and we are going to recognize that. We're going to push to show people that they can find, not just in conservative policies, but in trusting Christ and in trusting God. Because we know that God is the guarantor and the grantor of our rights. God, the government's role is to protect the rights that God has granted to us. God is who gives us hope. God is who gives us salvation. God is who grants us the rights that we enjoy. And we need to start pushing forward and showing people, gone are the days of secularism. Gone are the days of you thinking that if you feel good inside, then everything's going to be okay. Gone are the days of this feelings-based morality. We've seen it's not working. If you look around, if you go outside and look around right now, go outside, look around at your city, look around your town, look around your community, you will see broken, hurting people who are trying to fill the void with drugs. They're trying to fill the void with vanity. They're trying to fill the void with money. They're trying to fill the void with sex. They're trying to fill the void with alcohol. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. And the government's not going to make it any better. If you try and change yourself, it's not going to help. If you try and convince yourself that you were born in the wrong body and you change the body that you were born in, it's not going to help. The only thing that is going to give people hope and comfort at all is God. And it's the hope and salvation found in Jesus Christ. And we need to push forward as a movement with that message as our foundation, that nothing can be achieved apart from the precious blood of Christ shed on the cross for us. To be the base foundation of our message. And then going forward from that, we can begin promoting policies that promote the idea that Christianity is actually a net benefit for this society, promote the idea that the historical truth, rather, Christianity is what helped found this nation and that its laws and moral foundation were built upon the Christian Bible. And we need to go forward and promote policies that promote the family, promote the nuclear family, promote marriage at a young age, give people benefits for having more kids, not less, give them benefits for staying together in marriage, not breaking apart with divorce like you see now in a lot of welfare programs. We need to go forward and build strong families that will build a strong society. We need to stop pushing for people to murder their children in the womb. We need to stop pushing for people to essentially castrate their children with these hormonal cross-sex hormones that are ruining lives. We need to stop pushing for this stuff. We need to close the border today. We cannot allow there to be one more Lincoln Riley. And her name is Lincoln, not Lincoln, Mr. President. We cannot allow there to be one more Lincoln Riley in this nation. We need to make sure that every single dangerous criminal is locked up, and we need to make sure that every single person that is here illegally, that has no business being here, gets sent back to where they came from. The border needs to close now. We have to stop the flow of drugs in this country. We have to stop the flow of dangerous criminals coming into this country. We have to stop the insanity. While the Republican Party right now is apparently too busy promoting people who sound like they're about to cry at any given moment, we need to have strong leaders who are willing to go forth, who are willing to say the tough things that need to be said, and who are willing to look our enemies in the eye and tell them, you will not harm this country anymore. I am a citizen of heaven. My citizenship is in heaven. But while I am on this, I am a citizen of the United States of America. God put me here through adoption, not unlike some of y'all. Some of y'all, God put you here through the natural family. He put me here through adoption. And he expects me to be a good steward of the place where I live. I love this country too much, and I love my God and his commands too much to allow us to just sit back and just let this insanity continue. It needs to stop now. I'm willing to do my part. I'm willing to do what I need to do, whether that's through the election process, through grassroots campaigning, through any bit of hard work that I need to go out and do. I'm willing to do what needs to be done to save this country. The question is, are you? Are you willing to buy into a vision that's going to help give them hope and optimism going forward? Are you willing to buy into a movement that's going to stop this moral insanity, that's not just going to say, we just need to have a neutral public space, but is going to say, no, these are what the ground rules are. These are what the ground rules always have been since the beginning. We're not changing them now. In the places we have changed them, we have to change them back. And this is how it's going to be. It is time, it is past time for Christians and for conservatives to take a stand in this country. If the Christian church had taken a stand the way it should have, Joe Biden would never have ever allowed to be anywhere near the Oval Office. In 1980, Jerry Falwell Sr. started the Moral Majority to organize Christians in such a way that we would be the most powerful voting bloc in the country and be able to tip the scales of elections. Jerry Falwell Sr. was able to mass mobilize Christians to go out and fight for the foundation of this country, to fight for the moral fiber, and to make sure that the insanity, fortunately, has come forth today, was at least quelled for a period of time. We need that kind of leader again today. I don't know who it's going to be. If I'm being honest, I don't know who that leader is. I love Donald Trump. He's not the moral leader that we need. He is the political figure that we need to be able to follow and that I do trust to lead us politically. But when it comes to the moral foundation of this country, I cannot put my trust in him. I'm sorry, I can't. I love the guy, but I can't. We need a new Jerry Falwell. We need somebody who's able to politically, morally, and religiously unite Christians in such a way that we will be able to stand up, stop the madness, and continue going forward into a new day, a new dawn, and a new beginning in America. Last night, you saw in the United States essentially declare war on half the country. You saw the President of the United States say that abortion is this amazing, tremendous thing that we need to protect, that the border crisis is not a crisis. He's trying to gaslight you into thinking that nothing is wrong and everything's okay, and he tried to gaslight you into thinking that the economy's okay. We saw him act with anger, vitriol, and vindictiveness and divisiveness towards everyday Americans like you and me. This is no longer a battle between Democrat and Republican. This is no longer a battle between whether you're a little bit more conservative or a little bit more liberal. This is not what we're facing anymore. What we are facing is a group of elitists like Biden who think that they can just make up their own, go out and do whatever they want, and you and I will just be forced to sit back and watch it happen. It's time to stand up, and it's time to say no. We're going to stop the madness, we're going to cut the head off the giant, and we're going to go forward and create new society that mirrors the foundation that this country was built off of, and provide hope and comfort to every single American. The State of the Union last night was a disaster. It was a symbol of a country in decline. But it's time for us to turn that ship around. We cannot allow this decline to progress. We cannot allow this country to fall. The president has made his own stand, and this is where I stand. I stand with the American people. I stand with the United States of America. I stand, first and foremost, overall, with Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. And there is nothing that will remove me from this spot. I will not be marching back. The only way I will be marching is forwards. Onward to victory, with Christ by my side, the Holy Spirit in my heart, and the love for America pumping through my veins. I hope that you will join me. I hope that you will not just watch this, podcast and think, that was good. Now I'm just going to sit back and do nothing. I hope that you will join me going forward. Because I can't do this alone. I'm just a kid in Lynchburg, Virginia, a senior in college. I'm about to graduate. There's not much, very limited that I can do, especially on my own. But as a united force, as a united movement, if we all band together, especially in the church, if we all band together, we set aside the distinctions for just a minute. I'm a Baptist. I'm proud to be a Baptist. I'm very vocal about being a Baptist. But this isn't about Baptist versus Presbyterian. This isn't about Methodist versus Pentecostal. This isn't about Protestant versus Catholic. This is about us marching forward together to save this nation. That is the only path forward. Whether you're a little bit more conservative or a little bit more moderate, whether you're a Baptist or a Presbyterian, if you love this country, you hate what you see going on right now, and you felt attacked by the president last night, it's time for us to set aside whatever small little petty differences that we may have, and time for us to march forward with a vision in mind to be able to take back this country together. Because that's the only way we're ever going to do it. We're never going to do it alone. We are only ever going to do it together. That's all I have on the State of the Union last night. It was something, man. It was something. I've never seen anything like that before. As an American, watching my president stand up there and basically insult me and those like me for half of it, I've never seen anything like that. The State of the Union is supposed to be an address about statesmanship, about unity, about the country coming together, and instead, last night, we just watched a Biden campaign rally take place on the House floor. It doesn't matter that your money is going to Ukraine and their border while our border is wide open. All that matters is that their border is defended, apparently. It doesn't matter that you can't afford to feed your kids. As long as somebody on the other side of the world can feed their kids, that's all that matters. That's all that matters, that your money goes to that. It's a shame. Looks like we've got some comments. Americanism, not globalism, will be our creed. I agree. We've got to come together, man. We've got to come together. That's the only way we can save this nation. Well, that's all that I've got to say on the State of the Union. Now, I know that some of y'all watched Katie Britt's response. I thought it was weak, if I'm being honest. Tucker Carlson's response, it was good. It was just it was way too long for most people to handle, in my opinion. Somebody that I did think had kind of a funny response that I'm going to play is Congressman Tim Burchett from the great state of Tennessee. This is about as entertaining as it gets. Let's watch this.
Hey, everybody. Tim Burchett, just leaving the Capitol after the State of the Union address. It was pretty horrendous. I thought it was more of a, somebody asked me, the dumpster fire. I think it was more of a tire fire. It just seemed like it was never going to get put out. Some things I really wish the president talked about was the border. He kind of rambled off on something and never really drew any conclusions. We had over 10 million immigrants come across the border in the last 3 years, 100,000 kids sold into God knows what hell they're in. And then just ridiculous. And, you know, everybody's wearing their buttons and pins over that stuff. I didn't wear any of them because we don't have the guts to do what we need to be, what needs to be done. If we don't pass a dadgum border, fix the border, then I say don't pass the budget. But there's not enough will to do that here. Some other things, he was talking about how great Americans are doing. You know, the average American family, I don't care what economist you talk to, will tell you, they're spending anywhere from $200 to $600 more a month just to survive. Not extravagance, just to survive, just staples. So we got a real problem there. And he talked about Gaza and how we're not putting troops on the ground, but our military is going to build a port there. Now, how are you going to put a port in with our military and not put troops on the ground to do it? Tell you what's going to happen. One of those terrorists is going to do a missile strike over there, and it's going to be all over. It's going to be bad. And then we're going to have to make a real decision of what we're going to do about troops on the ground. So the whole evening was a weird, bizarre event, threatening our Supreme Court. I don't know. Anyway, let's see what happens. Thank y'all for sending me here.
Have you ever noticed, as he pointed out, that many of our leaders, not just Democrats, not just Republicans, but leaders on both sides, seem hell-bent on sending people, young people my age, like me, to go and die in another country that doesn't even care about us? Have you ever noticed that NATO seems bound and determined to make sure that American blood is spilt on European? Not European blood. They're not going to fight their own battles. They're going to send me. They're going to send you. They're going to send your children. They're going to send Americans to go over there and fight and die for something that in many cases doesn't even involve us. Have you ever noticed that? It's interesting. It's quite puzzling. No other nation in history that I can think of has ever willingly wanted to send its citizens to die in a conflict that did not involve them for a people that did not really even care about them. It's puzzling. It's discouraging. It's insane. It's almost like our leaders are suicidal and are on a mission for mass nationwide suicide through these wars. It's insanity. I don't understand it. I don't get it. It's a job because I'm a college student, so I'm just, you know, mainly focused on doing what I do here every day. But at the same time, like, it's supposed to be the job of people like me who are doing podcasts like this and more, mostly people who are more professional. It's supposed to be their job to kind of analyze these kinds of things. Anybody who knows what this is about. Or what's going on. It's crazy. And yet here we are. And yet here we are. I'll tell you what. These next few months are going to be interesting. Because as it stands right now, poll test, and, you know, take polls with a grain of salt or whatever. polling suggests Donald Trump's going to win. And I know that the Democrats are not just going to stand by idly and let that happen. They're going to try and make sure, whether it's some sort of shenanigans, I'm not saying 2020 was, you know, I'm not saying it wasn't. But they're going to try and make sure there's some sort of shenanigans. Or if they're going to do something crazy, they're going to do something to make sure that that doesn't happen. And I went to a Trump rally last weekend, and he talked about the need to make sure that this thing is too big to rig, all right? We need to get everybody out there. Listen, if you are worried about your vote not counting, the only way to make sure it counts is to actually go cast the vote. Because even if they do try and rig it, even if they do try and do something crazy, if there's enough people that vote, it's not going to matter, because you can't rig a landslide. I'm not saying Trump will win in a landslide, but I mean, if there's enough of us making our voices heard, whether or not they try to rig it, it's not going to matter. We need to go out, to go forth. We need to make sure that we're getting people registered to vote, that we're getting people to actually go and vote. This needs to be the highest turnout Republican election in American history. That's the only way that we can win this. That's the only way. And if Trump doesn't win, then we need to be prepared for what's good to come the next 4 years. Because if you thought this 4 years was tough, these next 4 years are going to be even tougher. We're witnessing election interference, the indictments, and civil suits. This is true. We are. 100%. We are witnessing that right now. They are trying to interfere with the election as we speak through these indictments, through these civil suits. And it could be that Trump did maybe make some mistakes and that some of this is bad. But that's not the point of all of this. The point is they never cared till now. Just like what happened with Liberty University. I'm going to talk about that for a second. Liberty University, under our previous president's leadership, made some very bad mistakes with how they handled reporting cases of sexual assault. That is true. The university tried their best and did what they could to fix that, but the federal government still handed down a $14 million fine for Clery Act violations. That happened this week. Liberty mistakes, but it is so evident and so clear that a hostile federal government that hates conservative Christians like you and me used a mistake to hand down a harsh penalty on a Christian school. You saw the same thing happen with Grand Canyon University recently, where the school got accused of something. I'm going to be honest, I don't know much about the details. But the federal government, from what I have seen, handed down to Grand Canyon a $43 million fine for whatever it was. If you think that's bad, because it is, think of what's about to happen if Biden gets another term in office. Christian schools are already being targeted for their stances on things like sexuality, on their stances on things like transgenderism. They're already being targeted for not allowing biological men to go into women's bathrooms. They're already being targeted for how they handle separating dorms between males and females, and how they handle that kind of, already being targeted for that. It is in the Liberty University Student Honor Code that you can't be transgender here. You can't go by pronouns that contradict your biological gender here. And I think that's a great thing. But my Fuhrer of Biden that we saw at the State of the Union last night, he doesn't think that's a good thing. And if he gets 4 more years in office, you better believe that he's going to crack down on these universities like Liberty, like Grand Canyon, like Hillsdale, like Grove City College. He's going to target these universities. He's going to crack down on them. The Biden federal government is. And it's not probably not going to even be Biden. It's going to be somebody else. Because once they win the election, if they win the election, there's no way Biden's going to be the president for the next 4 years. They're going to install someone else. If you think it's bad for schools now, watch the Democrats win the 2024 election and just wait and see what's to come. It's going to be a whole lot worse. This was something I was going to save for a different podcast episode, but I think I'm going to go ahead and go into it now. You've seen a lot of discussion on Twitter, especially recently, as to whether or not it's acceptable for a Christian to vote Democrat and whether or not it's acceptable for a Christian to vote for Trump. I was going to wait and I was going to prepare some more to go into this, but I think that now is the time to talk about this. 50 years ago, whether you were a Democrat or Republican, all Americans shared a common foundation of values and ideas that built this country and that we could all agree on and have common ground on. The biggest difference between Democrats and Republicans years ago was that I, a Republican, thought taxes should be a little bit lower. You, a Democrat, thought taxes should be a little bit higher. I, a Republican, thought the federal government's role should be a little bit smaller. You, a Democrat, thought the federal government's role should be a little bit bigger. We disagree on that, but at the end of the version of America that we're trying to see is essentially the same. We're just choosing different paths to get there. That was the main difference between Republicans and Democrats 50 years ago. We agreed about the Christian foundation of this country. We agreed that there are certain things that are morally reprehensible and not and shouldn't be tolerated or allowed. We agreed on these basic facts. We agreed that there was objective truth, that it was drawn from the foundation that the Bible laid on society. We agreed with this idea. That's the same dynamic you see today. The Democratic Party has gone in such a radical direction when it comes to their vision for the country. Their vision for the country, and I'm not just saying this, I'm not just spouting off Republican talking point. Go and read right now. Go find the Democratic Party platform and read through it for yourself. And you will find that they want a society where abortion is available on demand, taxpayer funded up until the moment of birth. God is removed from society where we have this secular society where there is no religion. The foundational morals, they don't even believe in morals anymore. They believe that truth is relative. Any Orthodox Christian who knows the Bible and sees that and says, I can perfectly well vote for that. Either you're not as orthodox as you thought, either you're maybe not a Christian, maybe you're a new, immature Christian, which I can totally understand, or you've just been plain up deceived. Because even 20 years ago, I would disagree with you for wanting to vote for a Democrat, but I wouldn't say that you're in sin over it. But now, when the platform is free abortions, freer hormones, free cross-sex surgeries, all of this insanity that goes against the very way that God created us, when that is the party platform of the Democratic Party in the United States, I am convinced that if it is a sin to vote for that. There are some individual Democrats, like her name escapes me, but the lady who introduced the anti-abortion bill in Louisiana, there are some Democrats like that who are good people. And everyday people on the street that you see that are Democrats, there's a likelihood that they're just a good, well-meaning person who's just deceived by this insanity. But the leaders at the top know what they are doing. It is no secret. The leaders at the top know what they are doing. And there is no way in my mind any rational Christian whom their Bible could ever vote for that party. It's insane. There's no way. If you're a Christian who votes Democrat, but if you're liberal in your politics, but you're conservative in your theology, listen please for a moment. I love you. You're in sin. You are deceived. You need to repent. You need to figure out what is going on, because this platform is blatantly unbiblical. And there is no way I can support any Christian supporting that. And people will counter and say, well, what about Trump? Yeah, I've got the MAGA hat. Okay, it's right there. I'm self-aware. Trump, through most of his life, was an adulterer, promiscuous, degenerate. I'm not denying it's true. It is. And I wish the party put forward a better option. I like the guy. He's not who I would... He's not the ideal candidate in my mind. Love him. I had a ton of fun at a Trump rally. I want to go back. And if I'm being honest, I do think some of the past criticisms don't hold as much weight. I do think that Trump has changed. How much of a changed man he is, I don't know. Is he a saved man? I don't know. He uses Christian rhetoric. He said some things recently that have made me pause and think, better person than even a few years ago. That being said, in the grand scheme of things, he's a moderate. He's center-left on a lot of issues. But the difference between Trump and the Democratic Party is that with Trump, you're not just voting for a man, but you're voting for an entire mechanism that's going to go into office once he wins the election. That includes a lot of people like you and me, who are much more conservative on the issues, who are Christians. I don't know watching, but I'm going to give a shout-out. William Wolf, who's been working with the Center for Renewing America with Russ Vogue, two very Christian men who know what they're talking about, know what they're doing, who are going to have a very influential spot, probably, in the Trump administration. When you vote for Trump, you're voting for Heritage Foundation's Project 2025. You're voting for their mandate of leadership. A lot of this comes from these Christian ideals. You go look at the Project 2025 mandate for leadership. Go look at it right now. You'll see Liberty University listed on the advisory. You'll see Christian groups and organizations among those listed on the advisory board. When you're voting for Trump, you're not just voting for Trump. You're voting for a lot more than Trump. But when you vote for the Democrats, when you vote for Joe Biden, they are in lockstep. They are with every part of their platform. You are voting for the entire Democratic platform, which includes unbiblical views on marriage, which includes mutilating children, giving them hormones, mutilating their bodies physically. It includes abortion on demand up until birth, taxpayer funded. There's a very clear distinction in my mind where it is 100% morally acceptable to vote for Donald Trump and 100% morally unacceptable to vote for Democrats as things stand right now. And a lot of that is because, and I'm gonna call blame where blame needs to be called. A lot of that is because the church has not done their job. If the church had done their job, the society that we live in would still be largely aware of the formation of this country under Christian values. It would still be largely aware of at least a cultural sense of Christianity. A lot of people say cultural Christianity is a bad thing. I understand why, but at the end of the day, I would rather be in a culturally Christian nation than in the mess we're in right now. I'm just being candid. I would. I would rather live in a place where some people are lulled into a false sense of salvation that we still have a much better chance of reaching with the gospel than in a nation where the gospel on this track that we're on right now will be illegal to even preach in a few years if some Democrats get their way. We can't let this happen. We can't just sit back and let that happen. I'm not the one that's been saying it, but I'm going to keep saying it. I'm going to keep saying it loudly. The church needs to stand up and do what they're supposed to be doing. That's the only way we're going to get through this mess. That's the only way we're going to get through the next 4, 6, 8, 10 years. And if that means dealing with a morally imperfect Donald Trump in the time being and going for someone else later on down the line that more closely aligns with our values, I'm willing to do that. I know I have a lot of friends, and I respect and I love you and I respect you. I have a lot of friends who say that they cannot, that they see it as too much of a moral compromise because of some of the stuff that he stands for, because of some of the stances he takes, whether it be only opting for a 16-week abortion ban and nothing more than that, things like that. I totally understand and I get it. I completely where you're coming from. But at the end of the day, when it comes to politics, you never compromise your morals. You never compromise your core convictions. But sometimes, in order to get to an end that is better than the spot that we are in now, you're going to have an imperfect vessel to get there. And at the end of the day, we're all imperfect vessels. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is not one of us that is without sin. There is not one of us that is without a need for salvation. And if you're covered by the blood, God, your sin's blotted. Hallelujah, amen. But we're still sinful people. We still make mistakes every single day. And no matter what, you're going to be dealing. Dusty, if you're watching, I'm sorry I'm using an example. I love Dusty Devers. He's the best thing that's happened in politics in 10 years. Even he still sins and makes mistakes, I guarantee it. He's not perfect either. And so we're always going to be dealing with imperfect people. Now, that doesn't mean that we always just settle for second best. And I honestly don't view voting for Trump as our second best, if I'm being honest. But it does not mean you settle for second best. But it does mean that when the choice is clear, you make it. And in this instance, the choice is clear to me. I'm voting for Donald Trump in November, urging everyone I know to vote for Donald Trump in November. And you can disagree with me, and that's fine. But if we're going to have any shot whatsoever at clearing up this insanity, voting for Trump and ensuring that organizations like Center for Renewing America, ensuring that organizations like American Moment, ensuring that organizations that have strong convictions and strong values and are informed by institutions like Liberty University and have strong Christian men in them, ensure that those kind of institutions have influence in the next presidential administration, vote for Trump. I've been fired up tonight. I need to bring it down a little bit. That's all I've got to say for tonight. I had some other stuff planned. That's the note that I have to leave it on. All right. That's the note that I have to leave it on. There's a lot of you guys watching right now. Thank you guys. I think this is the most watched that this has been in the moment since I've been doing this. So thank you guys so much. Please continue to support. Please continue to like this show. Share it with your friends. Listen, I don't make a single dime off of this. I'm doing all of this completely for free. Everything that I have used, whether it be this microphone,
hello,
whether it be that microphone, whether it be the light that I've got set up, everything I have, with a few exceptions, I've bought with my own money from a job that I work on campus. I don't make a dime from this. I'm doing all of this for free because this is the direction that I think that the Lord is leading me right now, and I'm going to be faithful to that call and this country too much to just stand by and watch it fade. And whether or not I end up having significant influence or not, I don't care. I'm just being faithful to where I'm called to be right now. If you want to support me, share my stuff. If you want to support me financially, I'm not asking you to do that. I would much rather you go right now to @CRLU71 on Twitter. It's College Republicans at Liberty University. I would much rather you use your money to support that institution and that organization group than to support me personally. If you want to, DM me. I'll give you my Venmo. I don't want this to turn into me asking for money. I don't. I'm just making the point that I do this completely for free because I love the country. If you want something, go support College Republicans. Please, because that is an organization that can make true and lasting change. I'm part of it. I play a small role in it. If you want to make lasting change, support them. Thank you guys for watching. I appreciate this watching. Thank you so much. God loves you. So do I. God bless you. God bless you all. God bless America. I hope that you have a great week. I'm not going to be streaming next week because I'm going to be home on spring break, so I'm going to take a break. I'm going to take a rest. I'm going to unplug from the for a week and try and get away from it for a minute. But I hope you all have a great week. I'm going to be posting the clips from this over the course of the week. Please share them. Please send them to your friends. Do everything that you can. Thank you. God bless you. Have a great night.